Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So one thing for me that bears repeating, pun intended, I clearly meant to say that, I understand the history of the Chicago Bears. Is that they've had an inability to develop quarterbacks, Justin Fields being the latest example of that. But what I would stress to people who want to take shots at the Bears, and I'm talking about people on Twitter or whatever, idiots out there who just look at the Bears. I understand all that. That's true. But this is a brand new regime. This is Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles. Their first opportunity to draft a quarterback. We don't know if they can develop a quarterback, but the history of the Chicago Bears does not have any factor on that. If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, from Len Dawson to Patrick Mahomes, how many quarterbacks failed? They had some decent ones. Montana played great over his last 2 years. We saw Alex Smith do all right. That was a team that had trouble developing a quarterback. The New England Patriots, before Tom Brady and maybe Drew Bledsoe for like 2 weeks, where was their history of a quarterback? None of this stuff matters. And to me, it's the last thing that fans of opposing teams have to hold on to is that the Bears have had a terrible history developing quarterback. That's their hope. That's all they hope for right now. That's all they're clinging to, because it is a great day to be a fan of the Chicago Bears. And I can't wait to start. So, Juliana, let's go ahead and start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment. Like no other. It's gonna be sick.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means? It is time for Take It to the Rank. So thankful all of you could be here with us tonight. Of course, we come at you, you know, about an hour before AEW starts. The Tape Never Lies Network will come up in 90 minutes. And on a special occasion like this evening, the NFL Network will be going over Caleb Williams Pro Day from USC. So if you did not get a chance to see that today, I want you to go ahead and check it out. It goes about as what you would expect it to be. Like, I can't remember the last time anybody had a bad pro day. Like, there probably is somebody, and maybe our guest will be able to do that. And why don't we waste no time bringing on the founder and the managing editor of The Bears Talk and The Bears Talk podcast. He is a longtime friend of the show. It's Brian Perez, who joins us here on a great evening to be a Chicago Bear. How you living?
I'm living good, Adam. It's a good time to be a Bears fan. And you know, I think it finally hit Bears fans today, seeing that Caleb Williams Pro Day and all the hype surrounding it, and knowing that he's basically going to be a Chicago Bear. It's a rare and unique time for Bears fans, and we got to enjoy it.
You know, obviously there'll be a lot of people trying to fill column inches, as we used to call it back in the day, but I guess now it's just content. Is there any chance the Bears are going with any other quarterback other than Caleb Williams?
Nope. easy answer, Adam. There's no chance. The only reason why Justin Fields is no longer a Chicago Bear is because Caleb Williams is going to become a Chicago Bear. He's the pick 101. You know, the draft really is already starting at number 2 with the Washington Commanders.
You know, I thought the same thing, because if the Bears were going to go, if the Bears were still deciding on a quarterback, then why would you trade Justin Fields? Because there could be a case of like, you know what? We don't like any of these guys. And let's just keep Justin, move down to number two, grab Marvin Harrison Jr. But obviously that homework's been done. And so Caleb Williams has got to be the guy. Let me ask you though. So over the weekend, you know, we did this show. I came on moments after Justin Fields was traded. I know that it's funny to me because, correct me if I'm wrong, because for the last number of years, people have told me how terrible Justin is, that he's not a good player. And then now that he was traded for a 6th-round pick, people act like we gave away prime Walter Payton for a 6th-round pick. Did you kind of get that sense too on Saturday?
I mean, look, it's the life cycle of being a Bears fan. You kind of always want what you either don't have or no longer have. Bears fans went through this same mourning period after the Mitch Trubisky era ended as well, thinking he was going to revive his career and suddenly become the Drew Brees that Ryan Pace thought he would be in Chicago. The reality is a player is who he shows you they are. And while Justin Fields obviously did not have the greatest situation, the greatest supporting cast, he was brought into Chicago in the heart of a rebuild. The reality is he's 10-28 as a starter, 38 games to prove to Chicago that he is a franchise quarterback and can rise above adversity that was around him. At times he did, and I still believe he can be an above average starting quarterback in the NFL. But the reality too is, Adam, he's just a victim of bad timing.
Yeah.
And Justin Fields, if the Bears did not have the number one overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, and if a Caleb Williams prospect wasn't in this draft, Justin Fields, the conversation right now would be, should the Bears pick up the 5th-year option for Justin Fields? That's all we'd be talking about. And all the diehard Justin Fields fans would be debating with the current Caleb Williams fans about the merits of the 5th-year option. So Fields would be a Bear if they didn't have the pick and Caleb Williams wasn't the guy. It just so happens to be a victim of bad timing. And hopefully he has a great run in Pittsburgh or uses Pittsburgh as an audition to go somewhere else. Bears fans have to move on. You know, Justin Fields, it was a 3-year run. It was a nice run. It had some really cool moments. But this is the one guy that the Bears have never had a chance to draft. They finally do. And it's going to be a whole new era of Bears football.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to get started. I'm happy that it's kind of behind us at this point. I think that I've been on record pretty well known that I was a Justin Fields supporter like you. You know, I would have been happy to be engaging in these conversations about the 5th-year option and everything like that. Had it not worked out that Carolina was so bad. I do remember too, because it was funny last season when I was putting out predictions for the Bears and people are like, I don't know why, like the Bears are going to end up having the number one pick. And my response to that was always, I don't think Carolina's that bad. Carolina apparently was. So it's worked out pretty well for us. And again, just to be able to move on from that, no more debate. I know that there's still some lingering fires. You know, after like a plane crash, you'll still see some like fires in a field somewhere. Like those still need to be extinguished. But I think for the most part, we're all on board with Caleb Williams being the next quarterback of the Chicago Bears, including one of his newest teammates, Juliana. If we have that photo, can we bring that up? And yeah, I got to ask you, Brian, you've been around the NFL for quite some time. We both have. I don't remember. Like, I'm trying to think of like, I don't even remember who.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jacksonville's number one. Was it Allen Robinson? I don't know if he was the number one receiver when Trevor Lawrence was. No, it couldn't have been. I don't remember anybody of a team being at somebody's pro day like this. Do you?
No, that was unique. You know, I know Keenan Allen's a West Coast guy. It may have been a matter of convenience, but the fact that he actually went wearing Bears gear, going
in Bears gear. That's right.
In Bears gear. It wasn't just in regular street clothes. He was in Bears gear, went out of his way to make sure he had that moment with Caleb Williams. There's another video circulating on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, where he even said hello to Caleb Williams' father and parents. So Keenan Allen already proving to be a great ambassador for the Chicago Bears. You know, a guy that's been around that long with that much production, you know he's going to be a leader on the field. But him taking that kind of an initiative to go to Caleb Williams Pro Day is almost like his way of announcing to the team, I am going to be a leader in this locker room, and I am already welcoming this guy into the locker room by showing up there that day. He didn't have to do this.
No.
He did, which is stock up on Keenan Allen.
No, I love this. You know, back in the day, I used to host a show on the NFL Network called Madden NFL Live. And we would have players come in and play MJD in Madden while I would sit there and talk smack. And Keenan Allen was on one day. And I remember this distinctly because he wasn't wearing Chargers gear. He was just wearing just a normal t-shirt or whatever. I remember him being pictured one time after he got drafted by the Chargers of wearing a Raiders hat for fashion. So to me, when I saw that not only was Keenan Allen there, which I thought, first of all, was amazing, but he's wearing a Bears sweatshirt. Like, oh my God. Like, he's fully 100% in. What did you think of that move? Fourth round pick is moved for Keenan Allen, who's coming off one of the best seasons of his career. Let me ask you this, number one. Part of the reason why he was moved was because he wouldn't take a pay cut, which to me, like, you know what? Your career is short. You've earned this money. They would have cut him had he had 29 receptions last. So what? Yeah, I have no problem with that. I will never side with management. I think that that's fine. But what did you think of the move overall in general?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think any player should agree to take less money, especially, like you said, after having a career year. And Keenan Allen's a different kind of wide receiver. You know, he's not a player who's predicated on speed and explosive ability. He wasn't that guy coming out of Cal. He didn't have a blazing 40-yard dash. He is just like an artist of a route runner. And those kind of guys, they age like fine wine in the NFL. So a 32-year-old Keenan Allen is probably kind of like a 27-year-old receiver who relies on speed and explosive ability. So he knows he has plenty of gas left in the tank to do what he has always done in his career. So, of course, he's not going to take less money. And the fact that the Bears were able to get him for a fourth round pick is an example of why Bears fans should be so happy that Ryan Poles is the general manager. Ryan Poles' approach to the salary cap and his conservative approach in the first 2 years allowed the Bears to basically take advantage of another team's general manager who made some very bad overspending contract decisions. So Ryan Poles was able to get Keenan Allen, no pun intended, pennies on the dollar for a fourth round pick. And I know there are some Bears fans out there who are concerned the Bears only have four picks now in the NFL draft, only four picks. Well, I get it. But in the second round, you draft Montez Sweat. And in the fourth round, you draft Keenan Allen. Exactly. That's like a historic draft class if you got those guys out of an NFL draft. So to me, the use of the draft picks are more important than the number of draft picks. You could have 9 draft picks in a particular draft and 8 of them are out of the league in year 2 or year 3. What was the point in having 9 picks? It's about the use of those picks. And to me, Ryan Poles has taken 2 of his draft picks in this year's draft and turned them into Montez Sweat's a cornerstone player for the next, let's say, 4 to 5 years.
Yes.
Keenan Allen, at the very least, elevates the offense to another level in 2024. And I think you'll probably see him at least in a Bears uniform in 2025 as well.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that they end up extending him as long as everything's copacetic and things go well, which I anticipate that they will. And obviously, we're starting to see the signs of it right now because he has a relationship already with Caleb Williams. As a matter of fact, we have that as well. I think we have some sound of Caleb Williams talking about his relationship with Keenan Allen.
So I've known Keenan for probably a year now. I've hung out with him a few times. And so to have him here and for me to possibly be going to the same team as him now and know him for a year, you know, it's exciting. He came off one of his best years, so that's really exciting. To possibly be able to have him as a wide receiver and coming off his best year, that, all the knowledge that you can gain from somebody like that is great.
Okay. Yeah, he's trying to be very careful not to just automatically assume that he's going to be Keenan Allen's teammate. But when I listened to that earlier today, do the Bears know? Do they know that he has a relationship? I mean, obviously, you want to go get some top flight talent. The Chargers were in a desperate situation to try to move Keenan Allen because of their salary cap situation. But there's something to be said, like, hey, you're going out there making a deal for a quarter or for a wide receiver. Oh, and it just happens to be the buddy. The quarterback that you're looking at.
Yeah, I would never underestimate how much intel these teams have before they make a move, especially when you're talking about an investment in a quarterback in the first overall pick. They're going to know everything about Caleb Williams all the way back to his middle school days, from coaches' relationships he's had to relationships with teachers to people inside the facility that are charged with cooking the meals or taking out the garbage. And if he has a pre-existing relationship or even just a decent friendship with Keenan Allen, of course the Chicago Bears are going to know that. And perhaps, maybe, if we want to go like 7 degrees of separation here, it could be why Ryan Poles targeted Keenan Allen in a trade, because he knew Caleb Williams was going to be the pick. And what better way to get a guy like that to feel comfortable in the locker room than by having an NFL superstar wide receiver kind of saying, arm around him, day one, this is my guy, everybody show him some respect. He already announced it to the Bears today by being at that pro day. You know, Keenan Allen hasn't played for the Bears. He's not a part of that locker room yet. But as they say, game recognizes game, right? That's the saying.
100%.
Those veterans inside the Bears locker room are going to respect Keenan Allen from day one. From day one, he will be respected. He's a guy that probably DJ Moore looks up to because he's been producing for years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So he's going to get the respect. And if he gives Caleb Williams the seal of approval, that goes a long way into overcoming this narrative that you see on social media about Caleb Williams going to face kind of this brick wall of pro Justin Fields Bears players. I think that's complete nonsense. The Justin Fields, hurt feelings will be gone by the second the Bears announce Caleb Williams' name. The Bears players in the locker room are going to know that if they are going to win a Super Bowl, it's because they have to prop this kid up. They're not going to make him take the extra steps. I know Jalen Johnson spoke to Kay Adams today, and
We actually have that. Can we bring that up? Let's listen to that, because there's been nobody who's been more pro Justin Fields, I would say, than Jalen Johnson. And here's what he told Kay Adams today.
You in that locker room, you're going to set the tone a little bit, sounds like, for whatever rookie or whatever quarterback comes in there. Is Eberflus up for that? Like, is he up for, handling a Caleb? I don't know.
I think, honestly, you just humble yourself coming in the building. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, you can't, like you said, you can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building, especially now with guys who play this game. I feel like at a high level for consecutive years in the league, it's just something that guys like myself, guys like Tremaine, TJ, I mean, just the vets now, Keenan Allen, I mean, you just adding certain guys in the locker room. I feel like we're gonna see through, and it's like, nah, that what you did in college, the Hollywood, it's like, nah, that you gotta prove yourself, that stuff like that doesn't matter. But I feel like too, you gotta get to know him too. I think it's a fine line between trying to prove a point to him, but also getting to know him, because I mean, at the end of the day, we want him to be the absolute best he can be. I mean, that's what we're bringing him in for, to win games. So I think truly just learning who he is as a person, learning him deeper than just all the Hollywood stuff you see, but actually trying to learn and get to know him, and then from there knowing what pushes him. If it is trash talk makes him crumble, then I mean, I feel like we got to push that button, because people in the game, they're going to push that button. So just depending on whatever it is that he needs to be pushed at, I feel like that's our job and that's our duty as his teammates, to make him better, to strengthen his weaknesses.
Yeah, what did you make of that? I know that Jalen Johnson did mention the word Hollywood like 3 times, but what were your overall impressions of what Jalen is saying there?
It's tough. I mean, I understand what Jalen Johnson is saying. Kind of doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, what pick you are, round 101 or 7th round or priority free agent. Everybody has that same agenda when they come into a locker room, which is you got to earn the respect of the guys who have been there before. And I get that. And I guess with the first overall pick, a quarterback who's been in the spotlight, Heisman Trophy winner, he's been pegged as the guy since basically his sophomore year or freshman year, really. He might have a little more to prove, because everybody in a locker room has a huge ego and everybody wants to be the star. And when a guy comes into the locker room who you kind of know is going to be the star, the veterans are going to make him want to prove it. I do wish maybe Jalen Johnson had a little bit more of a welcoming tone than what seemed a little adversarial to me, a little bit like he's prepping for conflict. But at the end of the day, everybody's got their own style. And if Jalen Johnson is going to challenge Caleb Williams from that type of perspective, awesome, go for it. You know, Adam, what I think Caleb Williams has proven over the last couple of weeks since the combine is the Hollywood tag is really doesn't apply to him. He seems like a laid back guy, down to earth. He's very well coached up in terms of dealing with the media. He seems like he cares about his teammates. He seems like he's a pretty humble guy, at least forward-facing humble guy. I don't think you're going to see a player that comes in like what Russell Wilson allegedly did in Denver, wanting his own office and wanting special treatment. Caleb Williams isn't going to be that guy. So I think whatever the veterans like Jalen Johnson are concerned about right now, I think Caleb Williams will have little trouble squashing that very early on.
Now, I agree with you. And I do, you know, anybody who's gone through a situation where you've joined, you know, you're changing jobs in your career, or anybody who played sports, joined a fraternity or sorority or anything, there is always like, and I think of it more from a fraternity sense of there's always one older upperclassman who is not going to be the easiest person to win over. Now, obviously, Keenan Allen has a relationship with Caleb Williams. They're both going to the Bears in their first year right now, so that's an easy one. DJ Moore probably be a little bit more welcoming too, because he's just in his second year with the club. But I think for some players like Jalen Johnson, who have been with the squad since Justin Fields was drafted, and he was our guy, and he was going to be the guy who is going to deliver everything we expect Caleb Williams to now deliver, there is going to take a moment, and there's going to be a little bit of a, you got to prove yourself. But like you just said, I think that there's a real good opportunity, a real good possibility and chance that Caleb Williams is going to win them over. Because everything that I've seen ever since the season has ended, Caleb Williams has come off just so well, from the combine, showing up to Rice's pro day interview or his combine interview and doing all that stuff, hanging out with everybody during the drills and everything. And people can say, well, this is manufactured. Like, okay, well, good. At least he's mindful that this is something that he needs to address. And I would also say too, like, the Hollywood thing sort of like misses him, because it's not like he's from Maryland. Like, he's not from LA. Like, if there was anybody who ever had that, and I say this with respect, I would say this to his face, but like, Matt Leinart grew up in Orange County, I'm assuming. Where did he grow? I know he went to Modern Day High School. So, but like, that was more of a California person. You know, some of these guys, Caleb has none of that. And I feel like he's come off pretty well in everything that he's done.
I agree with you. I don't know what that even means, really, other than maybe he means the superstar, like the star, yeah. You know, his name is in the bright lights all the time. And you're coming here as kind of the guy that's already been branded the franchise. And there's a lot of guys that have bled and sweat in that locker room to earn the right to be those core players. Jalen Johnson had to really earn that contract extension, right? The Bears didn't just hand it over to him.
Good point. Oh, good point.
You know, he definitely probably has a little bit of that feeling. And also, you could see in some of the comments here, and Jalen Johnson, like you said, Adam, he's Justin Fields' guy. And, you know, maybe their bond was even tighter than we realize. And it's going to take a little bit more. You know, some of these guys might look at Caleb Williams like, you are the reason why Justin is not here. We're holding this against you. And while I think that will be a very small cluster of players, it's unfortunate if Jalen Johnson is one of them, because he's going to be one of the more outspoken players on the team. My hope is Jalen Johnson, after a couple of reps, when maybe Caleb Williams throws a dime right past him in coverage, he'll stop real quick and say, this guy's the real deal. Because that's going to happen. Caleb Williams is going to make his presence felt on the field very quickly. And I think Jalen Johnson will soon realize that the Bears are in a much better position with Caleb Williams if their goal is to win a Super Bowl than they were with Justin Fields. And that's not disrespecting Justin Fields. It's just, when there's an opportunity to get a great player, you don't settle for a good player. You go for the great player. And Caleb Williams can be the great quarterback, whereas I think Justin Fields has a chance to be a good quarterback. You never settle for good over great, Adam.
No, that's very true. And I don't know if everybody can still hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. I know that my picture is frozen on the screen, but as long as you can still hear me, that's fine. Because I think the look that I have right now is very happy, just blissful in my admiration for what we're going to be seeing out of Caleb Williams. And by the way, and if you didn't see me, I was laughing at something my daughter was doing, because we've cleared out the garage a little bit. And then anytime you do that, like, the kids start looking through things like, oh, why are we getting rid of this? And then she's running around the yard here doing all this stuff we're trying to give away, which kind of is what happened with Justin Fields. It's like, wait, we're giving him away? Like, no, can we hold on to him? But we're going to have this bright new shiny quarterback, which I think is going to be great. One thing too, though, is I'm curious about is, well, it's not that I'm curious about. The, one of the knocks against Caleb Williams or the things that I hear on the internet or anything like that is that, hey, he doesn't want to play here. You know, like, oh, does Caleb Williams even want to be there? It feels like he is. He had an opportunity to talk to Colin Cowherd today. Can we go ahead and pull that up?
Yours told me, he said, Caleb wants to go somewhere that cares. Chicago cares. They're loud. They got history. It's my favorite city in the country. It's big, the architecture, the opinions, the food. What do you envision that first year being like? Caleb Williams, you know, if you go to the Bears, like, what's the vision in your mind what it'll be like?
Yeah, I think it's going to another big city. I've heard that they love football, so if that's the place, I'm excited for that. The fans love football. It's one of the, you know, biggest things that I care about is a place that cares. You know, if that was the place, I'd be excited and you know, get ready to go win games is what I'm excited for. Most importantly, caring about football, whether it's the fans, the organization, my teammates, myself, caring about ball games and winning ball games is the most important thing.
You know, it's interesting for a town where, what are you saying there? Does Chicago love football? One of the best things about the Super Bowl this year is, you know, being out there on Radio Row and everything like that. Now, obviously, the biggest representation was of the fans and media of Kansas City and San Francisco. Chicago was clearly number three. Like, CHGO was there. We were there. There was a lot of Kay Adams. I'm going to count Kay Adams in this. Kay Adams was there. There's a lot of, like, pro-Chicago. Like, there is no doubt that Chicago loves football, and they want their quarterback to do well. I feel like it's nonsense. I think that it's just people trying to be a-holes on the internet whenever they bring this up. But I think it's clear that Caleb Williams is going to love Chicago and he's going to adapt really well. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think this just happens to be the result of an anti-Chicago Bears. I don't want to say an anti-Bears narrative, but the Bears have tend to be the butt of the quarterback joke for years and years and years. And it might just be a desperate Hail Mary on the part of the media to take one last shot at the Bears before they finally get it right at quarterback. I just don't think there's any merit behind that. The Chicago Bears are one of the charter franchises, one of the places that, you know, if Caleb Williams is a successful playoff winning, maybe even Super Bowl winning quarterback in Chicago, he will become immortal. He will be the legend. He will have statues built for him. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case in every single city. Like, what if the Patriots drafted him at number three overall? Like, there's a very good chance, no matter how good you are, you'll never be the greatest quarterback in that franchise.
You'll never be better than Tom Brady.
Exactly. The Bears, he can fall into being the best quarterback in franchise history. So I don't think there's, I think if there's one place for a quarterback that would, like, they would want to go, where you combine big media market, ultimate marketing opportunities, a great city to live in, diehard fans, and like a very low bar to get above to be the best quarterback in team history, the Bears are going to be at the top of that list. And for a guy like Caleb Williams, if he can be a consistent playoff winning quarterback, Super Bowl possible quarterback, he will, like, he'll own the city. So to me, it's the complete opposite. The Bears would be one of the most appealing places to play, especially because, and you know, people can fact check me on this, I haven't done a super deep amount of research, but I don't remember the last time a team with the first overall pick were as competitive and ready to compete as the Bears are in 2024. So it's not even like you're going into a Carolina Panthers situation that Bryce Young did last year, where he was basically the guy and there was nothing. Adam Thielen was his top receiver. You know, you're going into a Chicago Bears team, an offense and defense that's ready to win right now. So I don't know why anybody would come up with this theory that he wouldn't want to play in Chicago. I think these rookie quarterbacks would line up to get this opportunity because it is such a unique one. Great city, great fan base, and a good team already in place. It's a home run for Caleb Williams.
I love RG3. I'm a big fan of his, even going back to his playing days, even at Baylor. His comments this week about wanting Caleb Williams to pull an Eli Manning was one of the most preposterous things that I had ever heard for all the reasons that you laid out right there. There usually, if you have the number one pick in the draft, it's because you're terrible or you've traded three first round picks for the honor to have that number one overall selection. And I think the only thing that might be sort of close is a situation and a guy that he gets compared to a lot was when Andrew Luck was coming into Indianapolis, because Indianapolis was bad only because Peyton Manning was out and they were going with Curtis Painter. And it was a, you know, but the team was fine once Andrew Luck became the quarterback. Caleb Williams could be that guy for the Chicago Bears. And I think that there should be an expectation that he comes in and does pretty well. Justin Fields won 7 games last season. Caleb Williams, at the very least, the floor should be Justin Fields. And so if he comes in like, okay, well, we should expect 7 wins. There were 3 wins that we let get away. So perhaps a 10-win season feels more in the offing. Of course, I will predict 12 because that's what I do. That's who I am, and I'm not going to back down now. But I do think that there's going to be a situation. I do think he's going to come in. He's going to be just fine. And I think that, again, I feel bad for these people who just don't have much to go on, especially if the 4,000-yard thing goes. Like, if he throws for 4,000 yards this season, like, I feel really terrible for people because, like, what are you going to hang your hat on now? What is it going to be? Like, you can't use the Sid Luckman line anymore, anything like that. And what would be, though, what is a reasonable expectation? Because now, even the holdouts, the Justin Field holdouts, and, like, I'm imploring everybody to get on the same page. Like, Caleb Williams is going to be our quarterback. We all love Justin. I hope he plays well, and I hope the Steelers go to the playoffs and they win some games and they do whatever. It doesn't. That's what I want. But at the same time, like, people not accusing the Caleb Williams support, which it's so stupid that we still have these two camps, but like, oh, now everybody's lowering expectations. I'm like, I don't think that it's a lowered expectation. I think that 10 wins is a reasonable expectation. Where would you put the expectation level for you?
I'm right there with you, Adam. I think the Bears should have been a 10-win team this year if they didn't let games slip away in the fourth quarter. That's been well documented throughout the season. And Justin Fields was not an elite quarterback for a team that almost could have, should have won 10 games. I mean, Tyson Bagent even got a win with this roster, or even 2 wins. I don't remember how many he got out of those 7. But at the end of the day, Caleb Williams will do and open up things on this offense that Justin Fields, it's not that he couldn't do it, he just hasn't done it. Caleb Williams, in terms of his quick twitch as a thrower, will allow for a lot more downfield opportunities, even intermediate throws that Justin Fields just didn't hit. Whether you love him or not, it's just the facts are there. The tape is there. It's just it wasn't there for Justin Fields as a passer. And I think when you add Caleb Williams into the mix, and he's now the starting quarterback orchestrating an offense that should have better flow with Shane Waldron as offensive coordinator, and a better obvious number 2 receiver who would be number 1 on most teams in Keenan Allen. And who knows what comes via the draft if they take another one at number 9, 10 wins would kind of be the floor of expectations. And it's not because of Caleb Williams by himself. That's unreasonable to think a rookie quarterback is going to be why you win 10 games. It's going to be because of Keenan Allen. It's going to be because of a full season with Montez Sweat. It's going to be because of the upgrade at center, the huge upgrades on the coaching staff, another top 10 pick being added to the roster. There's a lot of reasons in addition to Caleb Williams why this team will win 10 games, which is why, again, Bears fans need to take a step back and say, holy cow, like, the Bears are going to be pretty good no matter who's playing quarterback. Whether it was Justin Fields or Caleb Williams, they'd be competitive with Tyson Bagent.
I was going to say,
Caleb Williams, now you're on another
level. What if they went crazy and they just decided that Tyson Bagent's the guy? Like, oh, that's just been our guy all along, and we're just moving down. And this has been an elaborate smokescreen. We made Keenan Allen go to that pro day because of this, but no, that's preposterous. The number 9 pick, though, is very interesting to me because I think a lot of people are just assuming, like, well, we need more draft picks, so let's move down. But if somebody like Roma Dunze or even Malik Nabers, if they were available at number 9, do you think, I mean, I know you mentioned it a moment ago, do you think the Bears could be like, yeah, let's go in? Because we don't know how long Keenan Allen's going to be in Chicago. Let's go in and get a wide receiver.
Yeah, I definitely think that's on the table. In fact, I think that would be their number 1 priority, because we just look at the last 2 off seasons and the contracts that wide receivers have been getting in free agency. when a guy like Calvin Ridley can bank $50 million guaranteed, $92 million, you realize that wide receiver is kind of inching closer and closer to quarterback as the most expensive second contract to have on your roster. And if the Bears are going to build this the right way, you could actually do the almost unfathomable where you have a quarterback in year one of his rookie window and a potential number one wide receiver in year one of his rookie window on that contract at the exact same time, mm-hmm. which means you don't have to prioritize that massive contract for a wide receiver in free agency or that massive second contract for a quarterback for several years down the road. You're going to have to pay a left tackle like Braxton Jones. So one could argue, hey, look, we'll get the left tackle on a rookie contract. I get all that. But if you're going to really give your new shiny sports car quarterback every single opportunity to succeed, you know, you have a competent left tackle in Braxton Jones. I mean, think about it. You go from Tyler Scott, who would probably be the presumptive wide receiver three now, to Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze. I mean, that is going from an average player to a potentially elite player at a very important position. So I do think wide receiver is where they would like to go. I just don't know if either one of them will be there. And then that gives Ryan Poles the pick of the litter at edge rusher, which right now is a huge hole as well, opposite Montez Sweat. So we'll see what route they go. But I think it's wide receiver or edge, and then offensive tackle would be a distant third, in my opinion.
What would you do? Okay, if you were in this position and it was Rome Odunze, Dallas Turner, and let's just say Joe Alt. All three of those players are available at nine, which seems unreasonable. But if all three of those guys were available at nine, because the NFL, the draft is a weird thing. We never know what's going to happen. Which one of those guys would you prioritize of those three?
Yeah, I'm taking Rome Odunze, and I'm not really hesitating because I think the Bears have proven over the last couple of years, you're fine with Braxton Jones at left tackle. You're honestly fine. He's not a superstar, but he is a top half of the league starting left tackle, and that's hard to find. And you have one already in place. You don't have another player to complement Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And Keenan Allen is on the last year of his contract. You could be staring down the barrel of a really big problem at wide receiver if you don't extend Keenan Allen. And even if you do extend Keenan Allen, he is, even though I think players like him can play for a long time, he'll be 33 next year this time. So backing him up, and also like, if you bring in a young receiver, the transition used to be, it's a little easier now, but the transition from college to the pros at receiver is one of the hardest jumps to make, at least throughout draft history. Right. You have a kid like Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze coming in with a mentor, a pair of mentors, Moore and Keenan Allen, you're cooking with gas there. So I think that would be kind of what they're looking at doing. I just don't think either one of those guys are going to be there.
What if the New England Patriots decided like, okay, we really like Caleb Williams, we really like Jaden Daniels, and the other quarterbacks, we'll see what happens. Last season, the Houston Texans made huge moves by going out, not only getting C.J. Stroud, but they got Will Anderson. Could the Bears do something crazy where they're like, you know what, we're moving up from 9-3 and we're going to go Marvin Harrison Jr.? I mean, there just seems like there would be no other point in history where this would make absolute sense to be like, you know what? This is it. And we've accumulated draft capital for years, and we did a great job of fleecing the Panthers and everything. Now's the time to cash it all in. It might cost us more than we wanted to spend, but listen, we're on vacation now. It's kind of like when you spend for vacation and you know what? You're at the bar and hey, you know what? Money is no object. Let's do it. Is there a possibility something like that could happen?
Well, I think it depends on the grade the Bears have on Marvin Harrison Jr. I think there is you're seeing some smoke that some teams don't even have him as the number one receiver on their board. I do think it's going to be an interesting narrative to watch. I put on Twitter today that if he is not the number one receiver, there's a world that exists that he could be falling to 6 or 7. And that's when the Bears make that's
even an easier one. Yeah,
exactly. That reality. I mean, people hate me for saying it on Twitter, but I'm telling you, that is a reality that could happen. Marvin Harrison didn't work out at the combine. He didn't speak at the combine. He didn't work out at his pro day. And while I could care less, players do what you want. And I think in today's day and age, Marvin Harrison could possibly be breaking the wheel and changing the draft process before our eyes. But Marvin Harrison, the NFL is an old, stubborn league. Marvin Harrison could drop a couple of spots because of these decisions. You know, somebody on Twitter said, well, he got assurances from 9 teams that he wouldn't fall past them or they were going to take
him. Okay.
Well, there's only one team that could pick third and only one team that could pick fourth. And maybe one of those 9 teams is the team that picks seventh that'll end up taking him. And if he falls that far, that trade up scenario becomes obviously much more realistic. The Bears do have 2 second round picks next year. Maybe Ryan Poles, if he grades Marvin Harrison as borderline generational, I don't think there's any reason not to give up a number one in 2025 to move up and get him. I just wonder whether or not he will, you know, we're going to see real quick what Ryan Poles, how he values drafting wide receivers. Because if one is on the board at 9, he doesn't take one in the first round, or Marvin Harrison begins to slide and he doesn't trade up for one, then that tells us that he doesn't prioritize that position as a first round investment. Like, you know, Will Anderson, when the Texans traded up for Will Anderson, that's like a premium edge rushing prospect at one of the elite premium positions in the league. Yeah. It's not like Dallas Turner or Laiatu Latu or these other edge rushers in this year's draft who are late top 10, middle portion round one. Will Anderson was in the conversation to be the number one overall pick last year, and he was in that conversation for a long time. So some teams probably had him as that generational pass rusher.
Well, it was also, and the Bears were one of the team with who had number one. So it made sense of like, if they don't want to go with Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, if they end up having to settle, which all the Packers fans were convinced like, oh yeah, they're not even, nobody's going to want Bryce Young. Somebody did. And so it made sense that he could have been the number one overall pick. I'm really just bracing myself for Marvin Harrison Jr. to fall to 9 and the Bears to trade out. Be like, yeah, this seems about right. This seems, because I'm looking at the Chiefs roster. You know, that organization let Tyreek Hill go. Mm-hmm. You know, they're winning with Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore, Rashee Rice, all these guys, MVS. Like, Ryan Poles might fancy himself in that same vein of like, we can find we'll find a receiver. And we're just going to bounce out of it, and we're going to accumulate more picks. So I'm trying to get myself prepared for that, but I also want to be pleasantly surprised and see them be like, nope, this is the year that we're doing this. Because when you look at the draft board, we figure quarterbacks go the first 3 picks with Drake May. And then, that's the thing. At number 4 is the Cardinals are obviously not taking a quarterback, but there's a lot of smoke around the Minnesota Vikings getting that number 4 overall pick from Arizona, which means I was going to say San Diego. The Los Angeles Chargers are sitting there at number 5. And you talked about old school people who hate anybody trying to change institutions. Although Jim Harbaugh is sort of a maverick. But you know what? You talk about a team that has Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator. How much do they value the wide receiver position? And if that's the case, and they go Joe Alt, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, so 6, 7, and 8 could conceivably be wide receivers, but 2 of them have signed wide receivers this offseason. Tennessee, of course, signed Calvin Ridley. The Falcons brought in Darnell Mooney. The Falcons have too much on offense right now. You're almost too flush because the Falcons just can't take a receiver because they've got Drake London. They got Darnell Mooney. But Kyle Pitts counts as a pass catcher. Bijan Robinson, you can't put all these resources into the offensive side of the football, although you would probably want to surround your quarterback with that. Kirk Cousins would like that, but you got to look at defense at some point. And if Dallas Turner is there, then perhaps they do that. I really do believe that the Bears are going to have an opportunity to get one of those big time wide receivers, and it'll be fun to see what they do. By the way, before that, I want to ask our producers, do we have any comments we need to get to? Oh my God. Don't let them wait. Don't let them wait. Oh my gosh. Way too rough. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you waited this long. Put in the notes. I will do this. We'll never be able to compare JF1 and NC Williams tenure in Chicago due to the amount of weapons and coaching that both quarterbacks received, and Williams will obviously have the better of the two. Either way, way to go, way too rough. First of all, thank you so much for your contribution. We appreciate you. We appreciate you being a fan and wanting to get that out. Can we pull that up one more time? I want that to to hang there for a couple of moments if we still can. I agree with all of this. You know, it comes down to timing. You know what? It's like that episode of How I Met Your Mother. There was one girl that Ted Mosby was always trying to land a date with, but they were never single at the same time. And like the window is always closed. And it is unfortunate for Justin Fields. I wish that Justin Fields was a rookie this year, starting with Shane Waldron, starting with all these weapons and everything. But unfortunately, you know, he got caught up in a situation where a coaching staff was trying desperately to save their jobs. So they drafted him. And instead of just saying, you know what, Andy Dalton, go out there and play this whole season and be our Alex Smith, he went out there and like forced him into games. Then they put him into a Cleveland game without any preparation. And it just was awful. And he was never able to recover. But I think that's fair to say, though. Like, it's not a knock on Justin. It's more, and I know that you said this earlier, Brian, but it's more of a situation of timing.
I agree. I think but we also have to just live in a reality where Caleb Williams is just a better prospect. Justin Fields is in this draft. Caleb Williams still goes number one overall. You know, there's a conversation about who should be number two, and it wouldn't be a clear-cut victory for Justin Fields in this draft as a prospect. Justin Fields wasn't the second quarterback drafted in his own draft, and it's not that the NFL was right. The NFL clearly got it wrong at that time, but you just have to look at the where these players are at the time that they come into the league. And Justin Fields, Caleb Williams is just on a completely different level. So yes, it's unfair to compare what Caleb Williams will do in Chicago compared to Justin Fields because of circumstances around them. But the reality is the player who's best prepared and most equipped to take advantage of this improved roster is Caleb Williams, not Justin Fields. If it was Justin Fields, he would not have been traded. If the Bears thought that the quarterback that they have had the last two seasons to evaluate is in the building, is in the film room, is in the facility every single week, grinding the way he grinds, if the Bears thought that this guy could take advantage of these weapons at this time, he would not have been traded for a 2025 sixth-round pick. So clearly, when you just have to trust the evaluators and yourself. Watch the film of Caleb Williams, and it's like very obvious that he's the guy who can take advantage of these weapons.
Yeah, it really is saying something because I agree with you because regardless of resetting the quarter, we heard that phrase over and over, like reset the quarterback clock. It's like, well, I mean, like are the Chiefs resetting the quarterback clock? Like, no, because when you have a quarterback that you trust, and Caleb Williams is extreme in this analogy. But at the same time, like if you thought that Justin Fields was going to be good, then yes, you would take whatever Washington, you would probably take picks from Washington and New England and do multiple trade downs, which I thought was the way to go. The management in Chicago evaluated Justin Fields different than I did. And guess what? They're there. They're in the rooms. They're in the meetings. They're watching films more than I am. Okay, fine. I will trust in your decision-making process. So I agree. I will ask you, let's say we combine this draft class with 2021. You know what? Even we'll throw in last year's too. So if Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, and all the guys of that group, including Trevor Lawrence, who is the guy that you would say is the number one out of all those guys?
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, no hesitation. Trevor Lawrence, number two.
He would be two.
And it'll be a huge gap after that. So CJ Stroud has clearly overachieved what his scouting report said he would be.
I would put Justin, you know, funny enough, I would put Justin over CJ Stroud as a prospect coming out of college.
And look, the Bears did last year. The Bears last year were in this exact same situation. And the Bears last year looked at the quarterbacks who they could replace Justin Fields with and said, nope, we are not blown away by any of these guys. They are not going to give us something Justin Fields doesn't. Different story this year because it's a different dude. Caleb Williams is just a different dude. And he would be the number one guy out of the last many draft classes. All quarterbacks considered, go back to Joe Burrow, go back to all these guys. Caleb Williams would be number one. And I know Bears fans are, you know, brokenhearted that Justin Fields didn't work out because we all had that unbelievable rush of excitement and emotional investment in him being the guy. It's really hard to break up, right? It's hard to break up with a significant other. It's hard to leave a job you've been at for all these years and have invested so much time. And as a fan, it's hard to break up with a player that you fell in love with from day one. The reality is, like all those other scenarios, you'll get over it. And sometimes what comes next is even better than what you had. And that's what's going to happen with Caleb Williams. So he is a truly special player, and the Bears are in a truly special place to have the chance to draft him. And once September rolls around, we're all going to be looking back. Some of these Justin Fields takes that are on Twitter, I hope he does really well in Pittsburgh, but we're going to look back at some of those takes and some of the people that were anti-Caleb Williams. Nobody's going to hold it against anybody. It is what it is. Fandom is fandom.
It's fine.
But it's going to be like, I might want to delete some of those tweets.
Or wear them if you want to. That's fine. Thankfully, I never said anything bad about Caleb Williams. I've been defending Caleb Williams and his character and him as a person and his play. I just really like Justin Fields and thought there's also this way to do it, but I'm all in. It's too late now. Like there's no point debating that anymore. God bless Justin Fields. Hope he does well in Pittsburgh. Hope he plays 51% of the snaps and we get a fourth round pick for him. So it won't look too bad. And I hope the Steelers go to the playoffs and everything is great with that. Sammy, I do want to check in. Want to make sure there's not any other comments we need to get to before we move on, because I do want to get everybody. I'm taking your silence as a no. But here's my thing. Just want to let everybody know, if you go to NFL Network this evening, there'll be a replay of the Caleb Williams Pro Day. I implore you all to go check it out. Listen, Pro Days are designed to make these guys look better, but I think the more you get used to seeing Caleb Williams and seeing him hang around with guys like Keenan Allen and the way he conducts himself amongst his peers and amongst coaches, you're going to love what you see, and he's going to be great. We have a question. We have questions. Like, do we have one more question? We got to get Brian out. Let's do one question. Trade number 9 for Ayuk. Sam, thanks for the question. For the reason that you traded Justin Fields or wanted to remove Justin Fields, it's about resetting the clock. So assuming that you would be able to get a wide receiver at number 9, you have Rome Odunze on a rookie contract for 5 years as opposed to whatever you're going to have to pay Brandon Ayuk. Would you agree with that, Brian?
Yeah, I think the big move they made in the veteran market is Keenan Allen. I don't think they're going to double dip and have basically 3 receivers on the roster that should all get paid $20 million plus. Because remember, DJ Moore is coming down the pipeline pretty soon, so he's going to be the next guy to get paid. They're not going to give that cash to Brandon Ayuk. Best way to address receiver, if they don't take one in the first round, maybe they look for one in round 3.
What is it? Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU is another name to keep an eye on, especially if the Bears trade back a little bit. But listen, want to let you go. What do we got coming up on the Bears talk?
Man, we're just grinding out Bears content every single day. So just bearstalk.com, at the Bears Talk on X, Twitter, whatever it is, and also, you can find our podcast, the Bears Talk Podcast, on wherever you get your podcast from. It's on YouTube as well. So all Bears, all the time, every day, Adam. You know how it is.
No, I appreciate that. So I want to thank you for being here. Thanks to everybody who's joined us either on YouTube. We got close to 5,000 on X. That's the second time I've referred to it as X. Maybe I'm coming around on that. I appreciate everybody who's been watching. Thank you so much. If anything else breaks, we'll be back. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. So for Brian, I'm Adam. Bear down, and Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.